Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy
way. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
Tonight we're going to talk about the 2019 film Yesterday.
Yeah, we are.
Directed by Danny Boyle. So, Jason, this was on your list?
I put it on my list, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gifted it.
But Drew, to be fair, Drew started it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was excited when the trailer dropped.
I remember us talking about it. Who saw it first? I didn't realize Mom and Dad saw it.
Yeah. So Mom and Dad and Jesse and I went and saw it over the summer.
Ah, okay.
Oh, nice.
To escape the smoke and the heat.
Or down there or up here?
We were in Anchorage.
Okay.
You know, the fires of 18. Fires of 19.
19, yeah.
Wow, you're losing it, man.
I'm living in yesterday.
We don't do very many movies this contemporary.
No. No, this is like in the Wick oeuvre. Not oeuvre, in the Wick time period.
Yeah, we're almost relevant.
Oh, never. I refuse.
But no, I think we were debating movies to go see. And of all the movies that was out that week, I think this was the one that was, I think it was most likely to help all of us enjoy rather than, I think there was one that, there's just a couple that I was like, there's no way our parents are going to sit through this. So
this movie took me a little by surprise.
Me too.
I didn't realize what kind of movie this was. I was prepared for something just slightly different than what we got. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think it is it is in contention for displacing something in my top 20. Because first of all, I was having the discussion with boyfriend Jesse. It's a little bit of a horror movie when you think about it. In a small way.
And sci-fi and
yeah.
Yeah.
And it has some really sweet elements to it, some really sweet parts. It's kind of a very but it's also kind of a big tribute in some ways too. But putting myself in the shoes in a similar situation, I think Drew and I had a conversation at some point that after we saw the trailers, that my terror would be like, I would not be able to remember all the songs nor all the lyrics, and it would just get lost forever. And that would be, that's like punishment.
Oh, it's part of the movie, though. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really did appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when you saw it, Jason, for the first time, did you enjoy it?
Very much.
And Drew, did you see it in the theater or you saw it on video of some kind?
I saw it on video this week, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. And so, Drew, what was your first reaction?
I really like this movie. I don't know that I could say I love this movie because I wanted more. It went in directions I didn't expect, which were good, but I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted more music. I wanted more performances. Because I thought the dude who played the lead guy was actually a really good singer and had like the perfect voice to do Beatles songs.
Did you watch the special extras that came with?
I did not.
So Danny Boyle was, and the the writer, producer guy, the other guy, I've forgotten his name, of course, made a big point about when they got him and agreed for him to be the star, he had to go and learn how to play the guitar and the piano. And he basically went for like every day for like 6 months was playing songs over and over and over and over again. And all of the singing and the performing that you see is him. They're actually live recording it. They never dubbed anything. So when he's singing, they're recording it at that point, and that's what made it in the movie. And they said that was really challenging for them because sometimes they weren't on a soundstage, and so they had to find ways that they could get the sound that was true without all of the extemporaneous noise that happened, but to have it be good enough quality that you could hear him in a way that was respectful. He said there was no faking and no fixing. He's really singing and playing. And that's what we recorded, which is kind of impressive.
Yes. See also Rocket Man.
Well, we're going to talk about Rocket Man here pretty soon.
No, I haven't seen it yet. So.
Me either. Yeah.
Oh.
But it's on our list.
Okay.
It's terrible. You'll hate it.
It won a bunch of Golden Globes.
I'm just managing expectations now.
Copy that. Yeah. So, I was shocked how much I enjoyed this movie, because I sort of knew the premise because Drew talked about it and you know, you hear things and you know, I get, like I said, I forgot that Mom had even seen it because when I was done, I texted her saying, "Hey, have you seen Yesterday?" And she's like, "Yeah, we went in the theaters." I'm like, "Oh," because I was going to recommend you go see it twice. Take it with you on the plane.
she actually said that she when I told her what we were doing, she goes, "Whose idea was that?" And I said, "Mine." She goes, "It's a sad movie." And I'm like, "No, it's not. I don't think it's a sad movie at all.
It's not as, I mean, it's got, yeah, there are things. We'll talk
it about it. It has moments, but I'm like, I don't think in any way this is a sad movie. I mean, it has a happy ending.
It reminded me how, you know, granted, they only had rights to do 20 Beatles songs. I only did 17 in the movie. But it reminded me just how much those songs mean something to me. Maybe, I mean, like culturally, I think. Because, you know, they were always around in our youth. And a lot of a lot of stuff we listen to is sort of derivative of the Beatles. But I don't know. I mean, I guess to me, those Beatles songs are timeless, which I guess is the point of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so to me it was super touching because the songs are great, and you know, because he does them all really raw, just him and a piano or him and a guitar, and the conceit is fun, and I'm a sucker for these English accents. So everybody was charming, and I love the wicked sense of humor they had amongst their friends.
Yes, and Kate McKinnon.
McKinnon was hilarious, but not, I mean, she was Kate McKinnon, but she wasn't as over the top as she could have been.
Well, I don't know. She was pretty over the top.
But she was playing basically the devil.
Yes. And Ed Sheeran was quite a surprise.
Yeah. Did you know he wasn't the first choice?
No.
The movie was written for Chris Martin of Coldplay, which is why that Coldplay joke is in there.
No. But yeah, I mean, he was a good sport because they kind of savaged him in this movie.
They did.
I thought one of the funniest moments in the movie is just the scene of him answering his phone, which he'd set his own song as a ringtone for.
Lots of little things like that were so good. I mean, they were definitely paid attention. Danny Boyle paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some problems with it with the plot at the end, but all of the little nuances, all the little details are just spot on.
Yes. I still wanted more.
Yeah, yeah. So, shall we dive in?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay. I didn't get the synopsis like I normally do and then rip it apart and add little notes and stuff for myself. So, we're just going to do it live.
So, this movie starts a bit like Once.
It does. It reminded me of Once because of course, the setting, and because it starts, it's in... Because
he's busking.
Yeah, he's busking in Suffolk, in England, and it's a guy named Jack Malik, played by Himesh Patel, and he's basically playing what the summer song, right? His best song, and you know he's fine, but he doesn't have huge audiences. He's got a manager and best friend Ellie, played by Lily James, who basically books gigs for him and stuff. But he's not like making any money as a musician. Although he has quit a teaching job in order to pursue his dream.
She does more than just book gigs for him. She is like his 100% hype man.
Oh yeah, yeah, and number one fan, for sure. Yeah. So you get introduced to these characters, and you know Jack is kind of, you know, he has the dream to be a rock star, and so in the beginning you sense that you know he has that, but reality kind of quickly sets in that you know when she books him for that festival. And ends up playing for a tent that has a couple old people and a couple of kids. He realizes, okay, this is never going to go anywhere. I've got to give up this dream and go back to work or whatever. And he's 27 years old, which I thought was going to become a tragic number in this film, but it did not. So we meet him. We meet some of his friends.
Is that how old John Lennon was?
No. But that's how old Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain and
John Lennon was 40 when he was shot. So we are all older than John Lennon,
and all but one of the Traveling Wilburys I am older than. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but Tom Petty looked like he was 100.
That's true. He was rough. So again, we like Jack. Jack is fun. Jack is he's a musician. A singer-songwriter, I guess, but, you know, never going to make anything. And he is telling Ellie that they just can't do it anymore. He just can't do it anymore. And she's saying, no, you got to, don't give up the dream, you know? And he's like, it's not a dream. It would take a miracle for me to get popular, whatever. So he goes and she drives him around because she's got a car because he doesn't. So she takes him to the nearest stop where he parked his bike, and he takes his bike and is biking home. And
from the opening moments of this movie, she is very obviously completely in love with him.
Yes, yes.
And he is oblivious.
Uh-huh.
And kind of a dick.
Yeah, completely oblivious to it. So he's bicycling home at night in the dark, and suddenly there's a power outage, like a worldwide power outage of all power, not just the electric grid, but like, oh, I don't know, vehicle lights and whatnot, bicycle lights, like his
everything
bicycle. Yeah,
everything blinks out
for 12 seconds. Unfortunately, he manages to cross the intersection and get hit by a bus during those 12 seconds, and he is injured fairly badly, but he's not killed or anything, but he knocks out two of his teeth, which, by the way, I guess a similar thing happened to Paul McCartney. Like, he had a scar from when he lost a tooth, like, falling off a bike or something. Anyway.
It's my other major complaint about this movie.
Was no Paul McCartney?
Where is Paul?
Well, yeah.
George.
We'll get there. Hey, I was fooled. Spoiler. By the way, anybody who's listening to this who has not seen this movie, watch the movie. Go and watch the movie. If you have any affinity for the Beatles, but just if you like a nice, fun, heartwarming story. Because this was also a movie that I probably needed at this time. I mean, it's not like I'm going through desperate things. But, you know, sometimes you need a movie that's heartwarming. Anyway, so he gets taken to the hospital. And then Ellie shows up at the hospital. And I love that interaction. The scene where he's all messed up and is missing teeth and everything. And she's basically making fun of him.
She's dad.
Oh, it's all, well, I fear she's me.
Well, actually, she's all of us now.
Yes.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. But it's so funny. Of course, all of the friends, the similar age friends, are all, because after he gets out of the hospital, they throw like a welcome home party for him, sort of. And they're all making fun of him. And they present him with a guitar. They say, well, you know, with a guitar, you gotta play like, you know, play like the best song ever. And one guy's like, play the summer song. So he decides, you know, with a brand new guitar, beautiful guitar, he's going to play like the nicest song he can think of. And so he starts playing Yesterday. And everybody, his friends who are listening to it, are sort of blown away by what a great song this is, because they have never heard the song before. And so that's where the first conceit of this movie is, that somewhere during that magical 12 seconds or whatever, he wakes up in a world with no Beatles.
Well, it started in the hospital room, though. Well, he made that quip to Ellie about,
yes,
64, when I'm 64. And she's like, why 64?
Exactly, yeah. So we get this thing where he's like, he hears all these things like, what are you guys talking about? You guys are like, this is the long con you're pulling on me as far as making a joke.
Yeah, it's a crappy joke.
Yeah. And then it kind of dawns on him that, yeah, the Beatles don't exist. Like, he looks on Google and he can't find anything under Beatles except the bug.
And that whole scene is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Another savage joke is he also cannot find Oasis.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Brutal.
Yeah. He realizes that, yeah, there's no... there's no Beatles, which means he knows these Beatles songs. He could play these Beatles songs and sort of pass them off as his own. Which is a kind of a sinister idea. This could have taken a darker tone, except he's such a likable guy.
Yeah, he has so much charm and kind of Oshuck's charisma that you're rooting for him, even though he's plagiarizing the Beatles.
Yep.
But also, I think the point is made that he loves these songs so much, he wants them to be out there. So part of it is also that he wants them to exist, and people should hear them.
Yeah, we take that turn later in the movie a little bit. But yeah you're absolutely right. So he starts playing, Help and...
Well, I actually wrote them all down in order.
Here's the one. You would think that I Saw Her Standing There wouldn't really make the cut in 2019.
The first was Yesterday, and then the second one was Let It Be.
Okay, yes.
And then I Want to Hold Your Hand, and then She Loves You, and then I Saw Her Standing There.
And so you get this thing where he's playing these songs, and oh, by the way, he works at like a Costco, And, you know, his boss doesn't like him, but the customers do. So his boss is really cheeky as well. Again, this guy is like, he's sort of a lovable loser musician in the beginning of the movie. But he really is charming. And his parents are charming. When he plays Let It Be in their living room, it's hilarious.
Leave it be.
Yes.
Let it be is probably my favorite Beatles song. It means a lot to me.
Were you going to throw some?
I shared his frustration
with him being interrupted
during that scene. Yeah, that scene left me with Let It Be blue balls. I was very frustrated.
This is great. It's great comic timing. All the characters do a great job. His parents are charming also. And by the way, let's see, how can I say this in a way? Like, they didn't really lean on the fact that, you know, he was sort of Indian descent. Like, I mean, his family happened to be, you know, of Indian descent, but it didn't, it wasn't like a factor in the movie. They didn't talk about it.
No.
It wasn't like he was a cultural breakthrough. He was just a guy.
They were just more Brits.
Yeah. Colonialism. So we are now on this adventure where he lives in a world where there are no Beatles, but he knows all the Beatles songs, so he can actually record these songs. And so he records some, like, he makes himself like a demo CD and hands it out at the Costco, and he gets some local TV in a local TV appearance, which is hilarious.
The worst.
You know, he starts to play these songs, and at first he's playing like these five songs, and he knows they're good songs. They're damn Beatles songs, but still people aren't like like swooning over him like they thought, like he thought they would. So he's like, oh no, this is definitely just me. Like,
that was really a heartbreaking scene when he was blaming himself.
Yeah.
For the songs not connecting.
And then enter Gavin.
Of the, what, Across the Tracks?
The
studio? Yes.
Yep. And so he records with Gavin.
And Ellie.
And Ellie, yes. And is this when, let's see, sorry. I just saw it yesterday.
Funny.
No, no pun intended. Yeah, so Gavin produces this record.
That whole scene where they're producing is amazing and awesome.
Oh, where they have the kitchen gloves on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And they have to wait for the train to pass?
Yeah. I mean, this movie is it's not a musical. You know, it's, I guess you could perform it as like a jukebox musical or whatever. But it's got such great music montages. It's just fun. So, eventually, he gets a call from Ed Sheeran. Noted songwriter, Ed Sheeran.
But doesn't believe it's Ed Sheeran.
No. In a classic, like, calling on the cell phone, like, yeah, guys, you're just fucking with me. You know, stop fucking with me. And so, of course, he hangs up on Ed Sheeran. And then Ed Sheeran shows up at his house, and there's that whole interaction with Ed Sheeran and his mom and his dad and whatnot.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. So that's real fun. And Ed wants Jack to open for him on this tour. Like, this starts next Tuesday. So he has very little time to prepare.
In Moscow, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Ellie can't be his roadie and number one, like, manager or whatever, because she's got classes to teach. She's still a teacher. So she's like, go on, do your thing, you know? And so who does he get as his roadie but the sort of bumbling stoner
Rocky
guy, Rocky. Which, by the way, I like that Rocky had a lot more subtlety than he needed to have. Because in a lesser movie, Rocky would not be subtle at all. He would be like the comic relief guy from Notting Hill.
You thought that was subtle?
I thought it was more subtle than it needed to be. I thought they didn't show that Rocky was a bad guy.
Really? He was mostly incompetent. They made a point. He was incompetent
for certain, but he wasn't a bad guy.
Okay. I think you're splitting hairs there, but
he was probably my least favorite part of the movie, but he was still fine. He had some funny moments.
Yeah, I liked it.
But it was definitely the broadest bit of comedy in this movie.
Sure. Well, maybe not, because we get to meet Kate McKinnon here soon.
Yeah, I did not think she was broad.
Well, anyway, so they go to Moscow, and Jack plays Back in the USSR for a Moscow audience, which is hilarious. Because, of course, the USSR does not exist anymore either. But, I mean, it existed at one point. So a brand new song about the USSR is sort of a hilarious
thing. When Jack was like 5?
Yeah. But he, you know, he gets a good crowd response, and he gets the ear of Ed Sheeran's manager, Kate McKinnon.
Is that after their write-off?
Yeah, that's after write-off.
Yeah, yeah. Before, after the Moscow gig, they're hanging around, on stage or backstage or whatever at the venue, and Ed is congratulating Jack and says, hey, you know, let's say you're the best songwriter I ever heard. Let's have a write-off next to it. You have 10 minutes to write a brand new song.
Yeah, but you're asking for it at that point. You're just asking to get knocked down a peg.
Yeah. So Ed Sheeran is being sort of
dickish.
Yes. Yeah, smarmy and gracious at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thinks this is going to be a dick swinging contest.
Yes.
Well, and he believes that there's no way he could lose.
Yeah.
All right.
Which going into it means it's just a total dick move.
Yeah. A lot of dicks. So he comes in from Hobbiton or whatever, swinging his ginger dick and does a fine song, whatever. And then, of course, Jack sits down and sings the long and winding road.
Yeah. And
Ed Sheeran pouts.
Yes, he does.
Well, Ed Sheeran's Penguin song was actually a song that Ed Sheeran wrote and never really got it on an album.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
it was like the most Ed Sheeran-iest song possible.
Did you listen to the thing that Dougie posted today about Ed Sheeran?
Yes, the comedian who yes. I guess we should share it with you, Drew, since Drew's not on the Facebook usually.
Oh yeah,
it's a comedian with a looping machine and a guitar, and he does like the Ed Sheeran song. And it's really funny. It's very clever. I think I might sneak it into the podcast now.
Turned up, he seemed a reasonable bloke with a contemporary spin on contemporary folk, and people wondered if he might get far with his orange hair and his small guitar. But a few years later and his ubiquitousness is reaching levels that are kind of ridiculous. Trying to avoid him, it ain't no use, it makes Rihanna look like a recluse. And now there's Ed Sheeran on my radio, and there's Ed Sheeran every TV show, there's Ed Sheeran coming out my phone, there's Ed Sheeran on Game of Thrones, there's Ed Sheeran on my laptop screen, there's Ed Sheeran in my washing machine. Don't sit down, check underneath your chair, Ed Sheeran gets everywhere. Mm-mm. He comes under your door cause he's that small. No, really, I've met him, he's like 4 feet tall. And while he seems to be a nice enough guy, he's following me everywhere. Why, oh, why not? In the morning when I raise my head, I expect to see him squatting on the end of my bed, strumming away at those same four chords like Colin with a Grammy Award. And now there's Ed Sheeran had it in my fridge, there's Ed Sheeran in my sandwich, there's Ed Sheeran on my garden path, and there's Ed Sheeran crawling out my bath, there's Ed Sheeran knocking at my door, there's Ed Sheeran in my underwear drawer, there's Ed Sheeran running down my back, there's Ed Sheeran in my ass crack, there's Ed Sheeran getting under my skin, there's Ed Sheeran getting further in, and there's Ed Sheeran up inside my head, and there is no me anymore, there's just Ed, cause Ed Sheeran's taking over now, he's gonna turn us all into himself somehow, the whole human race is disappearing just to be replaced by Ed Sheeran. Who's your mate? It's Ed Sheeran. What's your name? Not anymore, it's Ed Sheeran. Call your mum, too late, it's Ed Sheeran. Nice doggy, it's Ed Sheeran. Even my wife and my darling daughter, a ginger hair and are a good foot shorter, and everyone thinks it's super duper, playing on a small guitar with a looper, which some of us are doing already, it's a deadly shit, you don't think he got it from me, I was only trying to have a bit of musical fun. My God, what have I done? Am I to blame? Is it my fault that the human race is now a singing ginger gestalt? Am I condemned from my own lips? Did I cause the Ed Sheeran apocalypse? No!
I'll have to put lots of notes and credits for this guy because he's really good, and I don't want us to steal his stuff and give it away, but it's really good.
Yeah, his moving to Scotland is pretty funny too.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the movie. So we have Kate McKinnon, who comes in as the evil manager. Again, I refer to her as the devil, but she's completely open about what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yes, there is no deception.
No, not at all. She looks him square in the eye and says, you're not very good looking, but we're going to make a lot of money together. You're going to make a lot of money, of which I'm going to take some of.
A lot of.
Yeah. Most of.
Yes. Most of, yeah.
Also, see Rocket Man.
He signs under Deborah, and they end up having like a mini Beatles phenomenon where they get chased by fans.
And we find out that there's no cigarettes.
Yes, we found out, and no Coca-Cola.
Very weird choices.
Yes. There actually, one of the choices that that was originally thought of was that there was no color purple. So, like, the band would be called Deep Orange. That they would go that far. But unfortunately, it would mean that they would have to scan all of the extra scenes for anybody wearing the color purple. And they decided that was just too far.
And what would they do about Prince?
Exactly. Yeah. Who knows?
Or the movie The Color Purple.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a lot of little funny, like the fact that in this universe, it was called Thursday Night Live.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. This movie is full of little cliches, but they work so well. His dream sequence, where he shows up on the James Corden show with his fly open, and James Corden says, "Hey, we've got a surprise. We got two guys backstage who says that they wrote all your songs." Oh, I'm sorry. This is before Deborah's industry people, or she gets him. Into the label's big sales promotion force, whatever it's called. And he's thrown out all these names of like album names, including, you know, Abbey Road and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
And the White Album.
The White Album. And it's hilarious because it's a group full of Yes Men salespeople. And he's like, yeah, this is all kind of dumb, but we've got the idea. We're going to name it One Man Only. So it just drives the point home that he's perpetrating this fraud. So yeah, so they're gonna call it One Man Only because he's this fabulous songwriter out of nowhere. He's a nowhere man living in a nowhere land. That's not in the movie, but that tells you how far the Beatles catalog goes. And they were only a band for what, like 6 years? Six, 8 years, maybe? Brother Jay on the keyboard? Well,
that might span their discography, right? But they were a band for
a
few years before they got famous.
Exactly, yeah. I don't mean the Cavern Club time. I don't mean the Stuart Sutcliffe, Pete Best time.
Their first studio contract was in 62, okay. And they were together until 70.
Yeah, so 8 years. Completely. And I'm sure, when was the last, Beatles album, the White Album? And when was that released?
The last time the four of them were in a studio together was August 20th, 69.
Okay. Yeah. I was 4 months old.
Yeah. And neither of us were born.
Yes.
Brother exactly. Drew and I.
Yeah. So then we have some funny stuff where he's trying to come up with more Beatles songs, but he can't get the lyrics. And he ends up traveling. He and Rocky go to Liverpool, where they arrive at the Liverpool International Airport, which is hilarious because that's a CGI title because the Liverpool Airport is called the Liverpool John Lennon International Airport.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so... So he has to visit Penny Lane. He has to visit Strawberry Fields. He has to visit the grave of Eleanor Rigby. And that's in Moscow, there was this weird old guy in the audience who you can tell he knows. He's lurking in the background.
Yeah, was a crazy stalker dude.
Yeah, and you could tell that he recognized the songs. And then when he goes to Liverpool, he sees this other lady in the graveyard where Eleanor Rigby is, and she knows too.
I was convinced she was going to be the alternate universe Linda McCartney.
Oh, see, I was convinced that he was going to be the alternate Mark David Chapman.
Exactly. They were set up as sinister bad guys. Which yeah. I loved mm-hmm. because they totally subverted your expectations, but we'll get there in a second. So then we get to see a bunch of stuff where Jack's trying to remember the words to Eleanor Rigby, and I thought that was really fun. And you get to hear Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, and he plays Hey Jude in the studio, and they change it because they think it's not a great... They said it's just missing something, so instead, why don't we go with Hey Dude... Duty, 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 duty.
It was painful.
It's hilarious, though. And so that's a running joke later when he he meets the people that had heard the songs before.
Yeah, it was Ed Sheeran that came up with "Hey Dude," and he looks so pleased with himself.
Exactly. Yes, and Jack is like gobsmacked about the whole thing. But Jack is over his head. Again, that's not the reason why he's lovable. He's over his head.
He is allowing himself to be handled.
Yes. And this club that he and Ellie had gotten him a gig to play at this little hotel back when he was a young artist, and they show up and the hotel had actually closed. So when that hotel reopened, Jack's like, "Oh, this is where we'll have our record premiere. We'll play at this newly opened hotel where we nearly played blah blah blah."
So the concert at the hotel that was closed was the original opening of the movie.
Oh. That's interesting. It's a good scene.
He sings that really desperate version of "Help."
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
It's great though, because he's coming unraveled.
Yes.
And this is a point where we find out that Ellie has got a boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, you skipped over the evening they had together in Liverpool. That's true.
Yeah, in Liverpool, she shows up in Liverpool, and they have like an evening of like drinking and singing and dancing in the middle of the street and whatnot. And there was going to be like a beautiful love scene, but she doesn't want a one night stand, and he literally is leaving the next day. And so she's like, "Okay."
Followed by the most painful deli conversation ever.
Yes, the next morning, as she is about to grab a train home and he is about to grab a flight back to L.A., she basically says, you know...
Too late.
Well, yeah, she actually says, "If you want to stay, that's great, but I can't go with you and you got to do your thing and I'm not going to, you know, wait around." Because they've come to a point where they've been circling this relationship where she has been hanging on for what, like
20 years,
yeah, most of her life. So,
yeah, but only 10 since they were of age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And again, he was basically and she's again. There's a heartbreaking scene where. After he gets signed or whatever, they're at his parents' house and she goes up to his room and sees all the post-it notes, which I thought was great. But she realized she has been put in the friend zone, like very clearly. Because she's got this whole wall of like sexy Sadie and all these Lucy, Julia. The Sky with Diamonds. Yeah. All these girls' names and hers is not one of them.
I thought Lily James was really great in this movie.
Oh, she was. Yep.
That's good. And have you guys seen Baby Driver?
I have not.
Man, that's going on the calendar.
Okay.
So then the weirdos.
Well, hold up. Sorry. Getting back to the concert where the Help is sung, she has told him over the phone that she's now dating, Gavin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Gavin loves her and Gavin puts her in the love column and always will. And sorry, dude. So he's having a crisis about that. He's having a crisis about feeling a fraud. He is at this concert where he's screaming, "Help me." And he's feeling pretty defeated. You know, Gavin and Ellie leave. And Rocky says, "Hey, there's these weirdos that are showing up. They want to talk to you." And they were in the crowd holding up a yellow submarine. And they were at a press conference actually saying, "Who is your favorite, John, Paul, George, or Ringo?" Not a dream sequence. So
yes.
So they come. You know, it's this older guy and a Russian guy and an older Liverpudlian. I don't know. I've only seen her written. He knows. They know. And so he's like, you know, "Okay, you're here to bust me, you know." And they're like, "No, we just want to thank you. Because
neither of us can sing."
Well, yeah, we thought we would never hear these songs again, and neither of us can sing. Yeah. So now what you have done is given us the gift of these songs. And they have a nice little talk about how, you know, the world with the Beatles is a better world.
Yeah, the world without the Beatles is a worse world. And then they give him some research that they've come up with
an address. They gave him an address.
So he goes, he takes his address. First of all, he's relieved, as I am as the viewer, that these people aren't there to stab him to death or shoot him outside of a hotel.
They have been steadily ratcheting up the tension in this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, starting, you know, it's no longer all that funny. You know, it started with the dream sequence of him feeling like he's going to get caught. And then his life is kind of unraveling. He's unraveling at the concert. These people seem like they're very menacing, and he's actually realized
he'd made a 20-year or a 10-year mistake with Ellie.
Yeah, and the movie is really setting it up so that you as the audience are super uneasy at this point in the movie.
That much is certain.
And they just such a great job. Like I said, I love that scene. But yeah, they give him a folded piece of paper. And so he
looks like, when they show up, he looks like he is ready to be assassinated.
Yeah. Yeah, if he did heroin, he would be have an overdose. If he was a smoker, he could murder a cigarette, but it turns out cigarettes don't exist in this world either, so luckily.
I mean, if he was a heroin addict, he could somehow shoot his own face off with a shotgun.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. With his toe, you know what happens. Mm-hmm. Heroin addicts do a lot of things with their feet. Anyway, so...
Yeah, their wives don't murder him at all.
No, of course not.
Whatever do you mean? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think Courtney Love killed Jeffrey Epstein, too. Anyway, so...
Well, he didn't kill himself.
There's no video for sure. Anyway, so...
Wow, we just drove right off the cliff.
Did I told you about the Patty Schimmel documentary? She's the drummer for Hole, was the drummer for Hole, mm-hmm. and was also their roommate. Like, she and Courtney and Kurt were all, like, really good friends, and she was, like, basically a nanny for
Francis.
And so in this movie, they have lots of footage of her in the band and her own, you know, performances as a drummer, you know, being a girl drummer in the 80s and stuff. But also there's all these home videos of just where you see like Kurt Cobain being a dad, and it's the most adorable thing. You're like, "Aw." And even Courtney being a mom is like, "Aw." You realize these are actually people. They're not just like celebrities. Which brings us back to the scene where Jack drives on out to the countryside or the seaside, I guess, and shows up at this house on the water. And who answers the door? And I did not see this coming. Did you guys see this coming?
Begbie, right?
Begbie, exactly. Once I saw the I did not see it coming, but as soon as I saw the pictures, the artwork, I was like, I sucked all the air out of the movie theater.
Exactly. As designed. Again, I thought it was great.
I was waiting the entire movie for him to try and track down John Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yeah.
But he ends up, John Lennon answers the door. It's a little schmaltzy, but it's also a nice, like, comic scene because, of course, Jack is starstruck and awed and all these other things. And John Lennon is just an old guy, 70 years old, mm-hmm. who's had a good life, but is, like, just, you know.
I think he said, like, 78, right?
Something, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's just an old guy living out by himself, having had a good life. And so he's got a little bit of wisdom to pass along. And there's all those little touches, all the artwork there. I think the boat that they sit on that's upside down actually has Imagine written on it. There's just lots of little touches like that. But, and of course his glasses, the whole thing. But Robert Carlyle does a fucking brilliant job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that John Lennon thinks Jack is just a freak, like a mentally ill person.
Well, he is really.
Like, can I hug you? Like, you're a very strange and troubled man. But yeah, so he basically gets told by John Lennon to chase after Ellie. Okay, question. Did you like how this movie ended?
No.
Me either. I thought this was a brilliant, charming movie, and I was nearly weeping at the end scene of this movie when they're singing Ubla Dee Ubla Da. But I don't like how the story wrapped up, particularly. Screech to the end, basically, fast forward. He's playing, Ed Sheeran is playing at Wembley. And so Jack calls up Ed Sheeran and asks for a favor. So after Ed's gig, he comes up and plays a couple songs.
Also, another little nice touch about Ed Sheeran's narcissism is all of the signs, like directing where you were to go backstage at Wembley, have been reprinted with like his album artwork.
That's hilarious. I did not notice that. Ed Sheeran at Wembley. Jack comes up. He's playing a bunch of Beatles songs. And Rocky goes and grabs Ellie and brings her backstage. And then they have a camera.
Jack is killing it, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, Jack is slaying. Yep. This is the ultimate Jack concert. And the big screen then cuts to a camera of Ellie in the back. And then Jack confesses to the crowd that he didn't write any of the songs. He's a fraud. Oh, and by the way, he loves this woman who's backstage, who, by the way, already has a new boyfriend. So that seems to be a very uncomfortable situation that gets tied up really neatly. Because backstage, you know, she is flummoxed and he is, I guess, happy that he has unburdened himself. Well, they're running from everybody who wants him to either praise him or attack him, because of course Kate McKinnon wants him dead.
Well, I don't know if she wants him dead as much as she wants to shut him up.
Well, and he is also, Rocky has uploaded all these songs for free on the internet. So, but, you know, again, and he says, you know, this is a gift to the world, these songs, blah, blah, blah. And then Ellie and he are talking backstage, and then Gavin shows up, and Gavin's like, yeah, I always knew I was number two. Go on, your good selves. And he's being followed by one of their other friends, right? He ends up dating or theoretically getting involved in with. So that's a weird thing anyway. But it's like, for me, it was just too neat. Especially when they went out of their way to make the relationship between Jack and Ellie pretty awkward. I thought it got tied up a little too neatly.
Yes.
But all that aside, the movie ends with Jack sitting at like a school with his guitar singing Ubla Dee Ubla Da with a bunch of school kids. And it's like the most lovely thing ever. It's just great. It's just a great ending to a movie. It's a wonderful, goofy song. Again, this movie reminded me how much I like the Beatles. Did I miss anything? Any notes?
The original ending of the movie ends with Jack and Ellie in their house on the upper floor. And they're having a conversation, and something about her enjoyment of the Harry Potter books.
Yeah, that was in the version I saw.
Yeah.
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 He mentioned Harry Potter.
Yeah,
She didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, it's reversed in the original ending. She mentions it, and he doesn't know anything about it.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm glad they went the other way.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting, too. It would have made for a different kind of sequel.
Do we want a sequel?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not with J.K. Rowling's current problems.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling.
I was going to say, I don't want a sequel, but I did want like 20 more minutes of this movie. Most movies, I'm happy when they're super short. This one ended, and I really just wanted more.
You
throw in a couple more songs.
Paul McCartney to show up.
I did. I wanted Paul McCartney. I wanted George Harrison to show up.
Nobody wants Ringo Starr, sadly.
No, not really. No, he would have been cool. I bet a Ringo cameo would have been really charming.
Oh, it would have.
Yeah, I thought they were missing. It was interesting to see, you know, their take on John Lennon still being alive. But I wanted them to explore that more. Like, what else was different? I know this movie was ultimately a sort of love story, and it was a very actually small contained movie for such a big concept.
Yeah, it's a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it ended really abruptly, and I wanted more. This is one of the few movies I wanted it to be longer. Because, you know, when you throw in awesome music like this every so often, you can extend the viewing enjoyment so easily. Just give the people what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jay, any more notes?
Of course, they closed the movie with Hey Jude, which, of course, because, you know, Hey Jude's like 8 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh, I was waiting. I had to wait till all the end of the credits just in case.
Good for you. Yeah. So, but this movie budgeted about $26 million, made $160 million. So it was respectful.
That's great.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of the expense was the licensing for the music.
Yeah. But okay. So the music they licensed all came from Sony. The surviving members of the Beatles, including Yoko Ono and George Harrison's wife, Olivia Harrison, maybe, they all like gave their blessing, but Danny Boyle didn't need their blessing. They paid Sony the money and that they got rights to 20 songs, but it was nice that they got the blessing, you know, and it's a sweet movie.
Very much so.
You know, what is made... Like, it's crazy because the Beatles were so freaking popular, but kids today or teenagers of the day know the Beatles from Rock Band, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or commercials.
Yep. Absolutely. and this movie, and just because we're keeping that alive, is nice. It's, you know, sometimes I get into a musical hole and I forget how, because I don't listen to music in the same way I used to. Like, I don't listen to a whole album of music ever. I'm not very adventurous because I'm not going to a record store and saying, I like this cover, or, hey, I know this producer, or this is a drummer from that other band, so let's see what his new band sounds like. I think, like, was it Napster and Kazaa simultaneously gave us everything and ruined us? And iPods. The ability to have 6,000 songs is...
Yeah, with so much access, you don't have to have any sort of emotional investment in what you're listening to.
So, Brother Jay, what's your verdict?
This is an A movie. I think even if you're not a Beatles fan, you'll enjoy this. But I think if you are a Beatles fan, this will hit you in a sweet spot. And again, I think it's a well-cast movie. It's well-written. It's to me, I've seen it twice now. I can easily watch this again. And for being a 2-hour movie, there was never really any slack moments. It just kept going and going and going. And I was excited to watch it last night as I was when I saw it in the movie theater, even though I already knew what was going on. So I highly recommend this movie. It really is one of those kind of like this. It's like the comfort food of movies.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
This movie is absolutely worth it. This is one of those rare movies where I told my wife that I was watching this movie for the podcast, and she wanted to watch it with me, so we watched it together. And this movie is brilliant because there are essentially two types of people in this world, right? There are people that really enjoy Beatles music, and there are liars. so you cannot go wrong. It's this movie is very charming, very enjoyable. It doesn't. It's really easy to slip into the world and immerse yourself, but it's not as lighthearted as you would expect it to be. I mean, it's this movie does have some weight to it. It's got some tension in it. Really good performances. I really like the guy that played Jack. He really brought not only the musical talent, but also the charm necessary to pull it off. I mean, you really feel for him, even though he is enjoying success that he never would have enjoyed on his own merits. And even then you feel bad for him. That's how charming he is. So yeah, this movie is definitely worth it. I would recommend this movie to anybody.
So what did your wife think of this movie?
She liked it even more than I did.
Fantastic. I'm trying to get my wife to watch it. Yeah, I love this movie. As I said in the beginning, I was worried that, not worried, but I was thinking that maybe I was grading this on too much of a curve because, you know, it's just nice to have a lighter movie than a heavier movie at this time, since this has been a, you know, a stressful end of the year. But that's great. I think this movie is fantastic. I would recommend it to anybody. I think this is going to be a movie kind of like In Bruges that I try to infect people with. Because I've gotten a bunch of people at work who I said, hey, you should watch this movie called In Bruges. And they like Susan especially. She's now a proselytizing for In Bruges too.
This movie makes me want to go to Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool was fun. I only was there for a day, but it was cool. Liverpool was maybe my favorite little town in England, not little town, but small city in England. Because really, we were in London and then like Cambridge area and then in Liverpool and then went to Dublin. And Dublin was awesome. I think Dublin was maybe my favorite place, but Liverpool was fun. And of course, London's a whole big thing. And I don't know. Again, this is 1999, so it's changed, I'm sure. But yeah, no, someday, I know Kelly wants to go, so at some point we will probably skip across the pond. Not anytime soon, because I've got a daughter that, on her second day back from school, screeching into housekeeping, fell down and maybe hurt her foot again on the other side of her foot.
Oh no.
But she's such a freaking hypochondriac, it's hard to tell. Because she really likes the attention of being injured or whatever. And we're fighting this thing of, you know, if there's something at school that she doesn't particularly want to do, she's all of a sudden very sick and can't go to school. It's like, no, we can't play this game. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a problem. I will be dragging you to school and no one's going to like it, but it doesn't matter. This is the hard part of being a parent. Again, I am blessed in lots of ways and my daughter is fine, but it is frustrating. She was wearing a boot today. I don't know if it's just for, we're going to have to take her back to the orthopedist, cause we're going to have to eventually anyway, but we need to completely rule out her being injured again. But I'm kind of done with with playing hooky, you know. Anyway, so I need a lighthearted movie. for just little things. I mean, again, compared to Brother Jay, my life is doing fine. But also, as we've slid into housekeeping, I fucking hate this really cold weather. It has been like no warmer than -6 degrees Fahrenheit. For last week, and it's supposed to last another week, and I have managed to clutter my garage enough that only my wife can park in the garage, so my car is parked outside.
Oh.
And let me tell you, a week or more of like -10 degree weather, -20 degree weather at night, I'm sure like belts are tightening, air pressure in tires is weird. It sits for a couple days and your tires are square when you first start driving. It's making funky noises. You have to start it like 3 times a day.
The car seat's solid when you go to sit on it.
Oh man.
Cause the foam is now just a brick.
Yeah. It's rough. And then, of course, you know, I let it run idling for a long time, which is bad for the environment, but good for me because, A, it keeps the car warm enough to start, so it'll start on its own. I plug it in at night, so it's got a block heater, so I try to give it as much help as I can. But I would prefer it to be about 30 degrees warmer, thank you.
Yeah, this has been brutal. I mean, usually when we get weather like this, it's maybe 3 days at most.
Sure. A week. Yeah. Tops.
Yeah.
It's funny because in 96, the last winter that I was there for, we had 3 weeks where it was like that.
Oh, I know. And it's winter. It's Alaska. I mean, you know.
I remember at one point on week two where it was like the high was still negative 15 and my car with the remote start, I could remote start it, which was fine, but it was so cold that the noise of my dashboard heating up and creaking would set the alarm off.
Yep. The glass break sensor.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, that's the thing is now every, you know, people's cars aren't starting. People, you know, it's when it's really cold, the roads are also slicker because any kind of warming up on the road instantly freezes. So intersections are super slick. So we have accidents. You don't want to be in an accident or stuck in a ditch when it's minus 15 degrees outside. You know, you really do have to pack the car like you're camping because you never know when you might be. And it's just, and my work is more complicated now. Part of my job involves calling tow trucks for people. And we have like a rotation. So you call people and you call a company and say, hey, are you available to take this kind of vehicle? Everybody says, no, you have to make like 6 calls for every single car because all the tow companies are busy. Probably half of them have to, you know, make sure that they can keep their own tow trucks jump started because they're not parked inside. It's crazy. It's weather's a bitch. The same year we had, you know, in the 90s in Anchorage. It's
you hit 100.
Yeah. But again, this isn't as cold as it gets. It could get colder. But there's also not a ton of snow on the ground in Anchorage. So, you know, pipes are going to freeze. I mean, God knows when this thaws out, there's going to be problems for individuals and for the city. Because this is the kind of weather that recovering from makes bad potholes and water mains break and fire hydrants will break. And it's crazy.
Yeah. This is definitely the kind of weather that it just breaks shit. Yeah. And mom and dad are going on vacation tomorrow. So now I'm terrified about what's going to happen to their house.
Yeah. I thought, you know, it's funny if they were going to be at the cabin, I was seriously considering asking if I could just park my car in their garage for a day. because Kelly's got a crack in her windshield and if I leave her car outside for any length of time, that crack is going all the way across the windshield. Oh well.
Yeah. Just rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Just get that crack all the way across.
Yeah. And then God knows, you know, so we'll pay a lot of money to replace it. Cause our insurance doesn't have that free glass every so often feature. So we'll pay like $600, $700 for a windshield and then immediately get a rock chip like the next week because that's what happened. Anyway. Okay. But I'm all whinging, let's say, about bullshit, nothing. Do you guys have housekeeping? Anything fun? Well, let's start with Drew because I'm guessing Jason has some housekeeping. Your life is not getting any more simple.
No, I don't have much going on. It's been a quiet week. Return to school for the girls, back in town after spending a bunch of time out in Willow. Yeah, it's been blissfully quiet.
We're scared of saying those words at my workplace. It's a voodoo thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you could tell, but I did not feel good ending that statement as I was saying it.
Exactly. Oh, things are going great. What could go wrong? Yeah.
Although I don't know. I don't know what was going on this morning. I don't know if it's because it's the full moon or what, but thankfully I was not there. But reportedly, both of my children had meltdowns at school during drop-off.
Oh.
Which is extremely unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and I talk a lot about how we feel very fortunate. We always have, even back in the days of daycare, that, you know, almost 100% of the time we could get out of there with a graceful exit. And we were always very thankful because there are always some kids who are having trouble. So my wife called me after she finished dropping him off. And yeah, she told me my oldest one was having like a meltdown because I had forgotten to pack her the type of hat that she could wear under her helmet so she could go ice skating at lunch. So I felt bad. I felt guilty to begin with once she reminded me of that. But then to hear that she had a complete meltdown about it was very out of character. And because she was having a meltdown, my youngest started to have a meltdown, which, but you know, my wife got them calmed down enough for her to leave. And then she got a voicemail from, my youngest one's math teacher, because apparently she was still like crying during math class, which is the first part of their day. And she was so freaked out because she's never like that, that she called my wife. It was like, and also in a bit of, this is another fun trick my young one has. She always knows what to say to really elicit the most emotional response possible from you. So when the teacher was asking her what's wrong, she didn't say, I'm a little weirded out because my older sister had a meltdown. She said she was crying because math is too easy.
Oh my God.
So that made the teacher feel like crap and called my wife. I was like, if there's anything I can do, or, you know, if we can, it's, I told her it's going to get harder. It's okay.
Yeah.
And you know, my wife was like, no, that's not the reason, but thank you. So yeah, there was a lot of drama this morning and I don't quite know why. I mean, I'm sure they're tired. It's their first full week back at school. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
But brutal. I am so happy I did not drop them off today.
It's so funny because actually we've been pretty lucky with drop-offs. We've had plenty of meltdowns on the way home. Because I only work part of the day on Tuesday, and so I got to pick her up from school, which is sort of unusual. And I go in and wait for her, and all the kids are coming out, and she's not coming out. I'm like, what is going on? So I actually have to go into the school and into the classroom, and she's getting ready to go. And then she immediately says, Dad, I can't believe you packed my snow pants, and it was too, they were too small. I'm like, your snow pants were too small? Like, we have to go buy new snow pants? She goes, no. They won't fit in the backpack. Like, they fit in the backpack. Just don't worry about it. Actually, to tell the full story, I got off work early. Sorry. But I got off work early, and Kelly and I were going to go get her school ID for her university. And then we had to go to Home Depot because we just replaced our combination carbon monoxide smoke detectors in the hallways upstairs and downstairs. But the individual smoke detectors in the rooms that are AC powered but have battery backup or whatever, turns out they have a definite life too. And when they go out, it sets off the whole conjoined alarm system.
Yep.
So we went to Home Depot, but as we arrive at the school to get Kelly's ID, she looks in the back seat and sees Journey's lunch. She's like, so we have to, she's like, immediately we need to go to school. It's like, well, luckily Journey doesn't have lunch until like 1 p.m, which is absurd, but oh well. So we have plenty of time. So we get her ID. We go to Home Depot and get some smoke detectors. Then we show up. I show up at the school and I pull up in the little like drop off area, but you have to turn your car off because even if it's minus 10, because you know, the fumes will go into the classrooms pretty easily. And that's rude. So, but Kelly's just going to run in, drop off the lunch at the office because she doesn't want to go to the classroom because the journey will want her to take her home or something. So, Kelly goes in there and gives the class and they say, oh, did the nurse call you? Did the nurse call us? Why would the nurse call us? Yeah, she came down to the nurse's office, said she was having some reflux, and they wanted to give her some Tums, but you need to sign a form to give her Tums. Like, oh my God. So it takes Kelly forever to come out. I'm like, oh, this kid. And so then when I pick her up, like 2 hours later, 2.5 hours later, I come in and, yeah, I fell down and then some other kid fell. I fell over a chair and then some kid fell on top of me and hurt my foot. In the different, same foot that was broken before, but in a different place. And so she's all limping and stuff. And then she starts to kind of have a little meltdown after we go outside because she's like, I hope you're not parked far away. I'm like, I'm parked way over there. She goes, why are you parked so far away? It's because I thought you'd go more than 2 days without breaking your damn foot again. So she's all boo-hooing. That's at the end of the day is where we get traditionally our meltdowns. And usually it's like, just hustle you into the car and get you home. You're probably tired. You're probably hungry because you don't have enough time to eat your lunch, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so that's where, again, we're dealing. And of course, now we have to take her to the orthopedist to make sure she doesn't have, like, I'm telling Kelly, it's like, on one hand, I just want to, like, drag her to school by her hair. On the other hand, I don't want to find out later that I've got the kid with brittle bone disease. So, anyway.
Yeah, I can relate to that horror, though, because there have been times, usually it's after some sort of break where, like, the first day back or hustling to get everything ready. And then, you know, my wife leaves and takes the kids. And then, you know, I'm putting the dog away and packing up and I'm on my way out the door. And then I see, like, their backpacks.
Yes.
Like, oh, God, no. So.
Yeah, little did you know, just the misplacement of one hat ruined their whole day, both of them.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, and you know what? It was too cold to go outside today, yeah, so they didn't even have an opportunity to ice skate.
Yep.
So fuck you, universe.
Yeah. It's funny, the first day back in school, they didn't have recess because it was too cold, but they sent a message out to everybody saying, hey, we're going out unless it's more than minus 10 below, so the kids better bundle up because we're going to have them suck it up and go outside.
I was talking about this phenomenon with some of my coworkers here, and I said, you know, growing up as a kid, we didn't care when it was like 20 and 30 below. We would go outside. We would get bundled up. The only thing keeping us indoors in school did was punish the teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I cannot remember when we didn't go out for recess. Maybe one day of my entire elementary school career.
Yeah. I remember one day specifically.
And that probably involved a power outage as well.
Well, I think the one day we didn't do it is because it was so windy that they were worried that the wind chill was going to start actually causing people to keel over. So they wouldn't let us go out. But again, it only punished the teachers.
Well, you know, it is kind of fun because this is the weather where, you know, now the kindergarten class, the Montessori kindergarten class at the school posted a video today where the teacher went out with the cup of water. And where you take the cup of water and you fling it in the air so it comes out like a big, like, rooster tail thing. And, of course, the water freezes before it ever hits the ground. So it's a wonderful little experiment. Also, it means it's freaking cold.
Yes.
So anything else, Drew?
No, that feels like enough.
So, Brother Jay, everybody wants to know how you're doing.
I'm okay. It's fine. It's gonna suck until it sucks a little less, and I don't know when that is.
Well, I keep getting people asking about you, and so I'm passing along the message you're doing okay.
I appreciate it. Yeah, some days are better than others. Jesse told me to stop. I keep saying there have been several moments over several days recently where I've just hit the wall and I just lose my shit. And I'm like, I cannot handle anything else right now. And Jesse's like, you have to stop saying that because every time you say that, something else breaks. So you have to stop. Like, the universe is listening. Just let it go. So.
How is your furnace?
I've stopped. So, interesting story. So, the furnace went out on Friday. Furnace guy came, looked at it, said, well, your gas valve is not feeding enough gas into your burners. That's the problem. But it looks like somebody took a hammer to the part. I'm like, well, wasn't me. I know exactly who it was, and he's no longer here. So he's like, well, we'll have to find a part, so we'll call you on Monday and see how that goes. I called around on Saturday and found the part. So Monday when they called back, they're like, well, and I said, I found the part. And then miraculously, so did they. Nice. And then He called me back and said, well, we're going to come and, you know, we'll come out this afternoon. And, you know, between like, of course, this is typical. Between noon and five, we'll come out.
Of course.
And I'm like, okay. All right. I've already missed a bunch of work because, you know, life is collapsing for a while. So now I'm going to work a half a day and I'm going to have to go home and wait for the furnace guy, which is fine.
Can I interrupt with a question for both of
you? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when given a window like noon to five, have you ever had somebody show up at noon or even before 2 o'clock? I have never.
I have. I've had stuff delivered, like furniture scheduled to be delivered, where they've told me like between 10 and 12. And then they call at like 9:30 to say they're on their way and they're 10 minutes out.
Which that can be inconvenient too.
Yeah, I believe that is not okay.
Some days that would be great, but yeah, it's also not great.
Yeah, not on a work day where you've scheduled to be off during that time or be like on call within 10 minutes during that time.
Yes.
So Monday, the furnace guy came back between noon and five. He showed up about 2 o'clock, I think. He goes, I have good news. And I thought, I'm like,
sounds very exciting.
I know. I brace myself. I'm like, I'm not sure if I can handle any good fucking news right now. So he says, well, your furnace is still on warranty.
Oh, sweet.
And I said, what? What? Because Derek installed it just like 4 or 5 years ago, but it was used because he got it from a house that they flipped. So it's not our furnace originally. So
shouldn't matter.
The warranty is still intact. And so the guy's like, yeah. So the good news is the part's free. So you just have to pay for the labor, which is $160 an hour, by the way.
Of course.
He goes, well, the part's free. The company's going to pay for it, so you don't have to pay for that. He goes, if this had happened in February, you would have been out of luck because your warranty ends in January.
Oh, that's
so,
wow.
I'm crazy. Just like, oh, okay, well. He's like, and then he says, I really don't know who took a hammer to this. And I'm like, again, wasn't me.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I really think that's what's wrong with it. I'm like, I don't doubt that's what's wrong with it, but I'm just telling you, it wasn't me. Like, I have a history with gas, and I'm not going to take a hammer to anything that regulates gas.
Yeah. Like, have I mentioned I'm a renter?
Well, except that Derek installed the furnace, so renter or not. Like,
nobody else needs to know that.
Yeah, so anyway. So, as soon as he got the furnace all hooked up and back together, and he said, I'm going to turn the furnace on now. It needs to run for half an hour. And I'm like, whatever. As soon as the thing clicked on, Griffin was like right at the heat vent, like instantly. So I had to laugh at that. So that was like the good news, bad news. So
I'm glad laughter has returned to your household.
Oh, I laugh a lot. I've also taken Derek's name in vain a fair bit recently. So it's just stupid stuff. So it's just, and now the bills have started to roll in and I just laugh. So I'm like, well, ambulance bill, good luck with that. It's like not coming out of my account.
Yeah.
So the tomorrow is the burn ceremony. So we're going to burn him tomorrow. So that'll be fun ish. And then, tentatively the funeral on the first, that's just going to be probably mostly family only and super close people. And then, I rented with our parents' assistance, and their generosity. We're going to have a celebration of life on Sunday, the 2nd, at a venue that, Derek and I frequented. So.
Very nice.
It's the Clackamas Chuck E. Cheese.
So I told Jesse, I'm like, you know, Red Robin. But no, it's I don't want to publish it because I know it's this, but I don't know.
DM Jason if you feel like you want to go.
Yeah, if you want to go, certainly. Because there's going to be refreshments. It'll be no host bar, so you can pay for your own booze if you want. It's going to be in a facility that has all kinds of other things in it because it's a hotel resort. So unofficially, off the record, it's at...
Does it rhyme with McMenamins?
It is McMenamins. Kennedy School?
Yeah, excellent.
So it's an old elementary school. And so the event will be in the gymnasium. And so it's from 11 to 3. And they're serving some food and there'll be waitress staff and I'm not sure what else is going to go on yet. So, sorry, but I'll be a thing. It'll be interesting. Now I have to put shit together as the problem. So now it's like I have to get pictures and I have to get posters and I have to get a sign-in sheet and sign-in book and I have to figure out music and so I'm just like it's never ending.
Projector slideshow.
Hey, again, you
have other sources of support there that can guide you better than I can, especially from afar.
Yeah. Well, no, I just have, to, I'm like, I've got all the stuff, so I'm going to have to do it. So it's just a matter of just with all the stuff in the house that's going on, because I'm still going through stuff and papers and clothes. And now we're getting to the point where it's like, I actually have to figure out what the hell I'm going to do with stuff. It just seems so insurmountable at times. So I think one of the days this weekend, I was like, you know what? I'm taking a fucking day off.
Yeah. You need to.
Absolutely.
I need a day off. Yeah. So luckily Dr. Wonders and boyfriend Jesse are going to go with me tomorrow, which, I mean, they would want to go anyway. So it's just going to be the three of us at the cremation ceremony. But we have all the objects picked out to go with him. I think I posted the picture. Yeah, I was on Facebook, but Drew doesn't have Facebook. But I got the outfit picked out for him, so.
Oh, yeah. Here, Drew, we'll send you a link to that really funny video with the looping guitar Ed Sheeran song that'll make you laugh. And then I will send you a picture right now of the final outfit for Derek, which will make you cry.
I don't think it'll make you cry.
We all bring our own bags to this trip, but I'm just telling you, it was like, because I had to show it to Kelly, too. and she was like, aww.
Travis was like, oh, that's so perfect. I'm like, yeah, it really is him. I mean, it's like, it's totally what he would wear. So I think I was mentioning earlier that I was really tempted to dress him up in all kinds of funny stuff just as revenge, but I don't need that kind of beyond the grave karma. So, but at least my furnace works. It works really well, actually. So I'm happy that the house is warm again, because that really sucked. Because my basement was just an ice box, and it's not normally that cold. So it's really hard to go down and do laundry when like you just feel like you're in a walk-in freezer.
That's no fun for sure.
It ended up being at the lowest, it was like 49 degrees in my basement.
I now have an alarm at my lake house that will call me if it ever gets to 49 degrees.
That is great.
That would seem to be a problem. Luckily, we don't have, like, most of the pipes and stuff inside the house are between the floors, so they're kind of insulated.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. there. It's the Brother Podcast. We're going to leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric,